Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music. Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we talk about how music helps and heals depression most times, you know, not always, but that's what doctors are for, you know. But today, we on When Words Fail Music Speaks, we are joined by country singer, songwriter, and entertainer J.P. Cates. From the bright lights of Las Vegas stage productions to the heart of Nashville's songwriting scene, J.P.'s journey has been anything but ordinary. He began writing music during one of his personal times of his life after learning his father was ill. Turning grief into melody and music and memory into lyrics. Now rooted in Washington State, JP continues to share a heartfelt country stories shaped by love, loss, and authenticity. JP, welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Great to be here. Great. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So did I get everything right on the introduction? Yeah. Because usually I get some wrong, which is fine. You know.
No. That was spot on. Yeah.
Everything's okay.
Spent a long time in Vegas. Spent a little bit of time in Nashville. Now I'm in Washington.
Nice. So Washington State. That is.
Yeah. Washington State. Yeah.
Right above California. Right. Okay. So.
Yeah. I gotta know what
is the weather like down there?
Right now, it's actually nice and sunny. I mean, the sun's about to go down, but we've had blue skies all day. It was a bluebird day, so
nice.
Yeah, it's one of the rare in between October and May. We call that the big dark because we don't see the sun. Yeah. But we got a rare one today. It was nice.
Nice, because I live in South Carolina and it does not know what it wants to do here. And you know, 1 minute it's raining, next minute nice weather, next minute it's snowing. We saw snow in like 5 years. It's been a while since it's been snowed anywhere around here.
We haven't had any winter weather yet, really.
Okay.
Nothing to speak of.
Yeah.
So.
But we all do. Y'all get it. Like a downpour, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually just rain. A lot of rain.
Okay. So it's never snow?
It does snow, but only about twice a year.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah. That's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
But when it does, ooh, it dumps.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. Which is horrible. Yeah. Because it rained on us. Me going to work today because I work at Outback Steakhouse. So it's, you know, it's like, you know, whatever, but I'm glad it's finally getting into warm weather, you know, because we need warm weather now. But So let's backtrack.
Sure.
You were in Las Vegas and then moved to Nashville.
Correct.
And now you're back in Washington State.
Yep. I was born and bred in Washington and moved down to Vegas around 2001 after I found out that my father was ill. That's when I started writing music again. I'd written a few things when I was in high school and whatnot, you know, did stuff. But after I found out that he was ill, started writing music again. And once he had passed, I was done with Vegas. I'm like, I've been in this city for 12 years. I'm just, it's okay. I mean, it's a great city. I just didn't want to be there anymore. So went back and went across the country over to Nashville and spent a couple of years there. Again, nice city, just not for me. So I came back over here to the West Coast where I know how things function. And now I live in Seattle where I feel at home.
It's probably quieter here.
I love all the sound and everything. So.
I guess it would be a lot quieter there too, as opposed to Nashville and and Las
Yeah.
Vegas, you know.
Yeah, there's a real sense of community here in Seattle and in Washington in general. And you can't really get that as much in Las Vegas. In Nashville you can, but it takes a long time to get there. But since I'm from here, I kind of had it already built in, so it
Which is
made it
great.
easy.
Is Las Vegas the true definition of Sin City? Because I hear that a lot, and I'm like, I don't know if that's actually true or not. I'm going to, you know.
I don't know if it is anymore. Because I mean I've heard the stories, you know, when I was there, yes. When we were there, it was, you know, right after and right before and then right after 9/11. You know, and for the decade after that. And so, you know, you remember all the stuff that was going on back then. The internet was really kicking off, and you know, everything was starting to be more adult oriented in the city. They come out of the 90s where they were all family friendly. And so we got things like, you know, the big new hotels and all the nightclubs and all of that. So yeah, it definitely went more adult oriented entertainment when we were down there. But that's been a decade ago now, so I'm not really sure where they're at now.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you tonight because I learned from your reason from researching you. You started in a musical theater. All right.
I was big into musical theater in high school and college. I really enjoyed getting up on stage and being somebody else for a few hours, telling stories. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
So I gotta know what is your favorite musical of all time?
My favorite musical of all time? The one that I probably like the best is a musical by Stephen Sondheim called Assassins. Just a brilliant piece of work. It's really well done, historically accurate, just amazing, amazing songs throughout that piece. That or another Sondheim show, Sunday in the Park with George, which is about a painter from the 1800s who painted this amazing painting that's all points of color rather than brush strokes. He did everything by little points of color, and it's just brilliantly done. It showcases the main characters really, really well.
From theater to country music now. That's a big leap. That's like two different beasts of one thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love country. That's my favorite, first and foremost ever. But transitioning from theater to country music, was that like an easy transition, or did you expect that?
It was a very.
What did theater teach you about commanding emotion that, I mean, that helped you into?
Right. It was actually a very long process. I had listened to some country music in high school. But I was a 90s kid, so I listened to a lot of like grunge music, especially being from Seattle. But once we moved to Vegas, there's a lot of country music down there, a lot of it. So that's really kind of what I got when I got into the country music, listening to it. And then it really, the musical theater and theater in general informed my storytelling. It gave me a sense of a beginning, a middle, and an end for every story. It was, you know, you're not just always singing about emotion. You're often singing, you're telling somebody's story, whether it's your story personally or whether it's somebody else's. You have to have a narrative. It's just singing about emotion. It's like, oh, I'm happy. Oh, I'm sad. Okay, great, but tell me more. So the musical theater informed that. And then when I was starting to write music, I had obviously something to say. And it just, the environment I was in down in Vegas and the people that I was around, the important folks in my life, just said, you're already listening to country music. It a
I
lot of
love
what you
it.
sound, a lot of what you write and how you sound when you sing is country. Write that. Write
Right.
that and get it, put that out there.
Write what you know. Yeah.
Write what you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what I did when I got my songs together and started getting them arranged and everything put together. They just kind of naturally fell into the country music genre.
Right.
They, I don't think I'd ever be able to do an EDM song or, like a bubblegum pop song. That's just
Right,
not
yeah.
me.
No.
Especially not with the subject matter that I write about. A lot of, heartbreak and like heartfelt family type stuff and loss and all that.
Okay, so in theater, you're playing as somebody else, right? You're given their own lyrics, their own words, their own this and that. Country music and music in general, the stories that you write about you, right? So
Mostly.
was that it? Yeah, mostly. So was that terrifying for you to actually get your stories out that you lived through, or was that kind of like a release?
Oh no, it's terrifying.
Oh, okay.
Any song that is close to my heart, any song that's about me or about my lived experience is one that I'm very nervous about when I put it out in front of an audience. Especially anything that has to do with my parents, my
Yeah.
father or my significant other. Just because, it's like taking your chest and ripping it open and saying, "Hey, look right there." You don't have any protection when you do that. And if somebody comes back at you with some sort of, vile, hateful thing, it can really cut deep. Fortunately, that hasn't happened yet, so
Right.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. But that's awesome, yeah, because it can be terrifying once you get your songs out, but just knowing that whoever is listening to it is going through somewhere somewhat similar and kind of resonate with you. And that always is a big deal.
Yeah, that's the reason why I wanted to get my music put together and out there. Even though it is terrifying for me personally to have somebody come back and go, "Oh, you suck, you're terrible, you can't write, your voice is crap," whatever. If there's somebody out there who listens to, Jukebox of Regret or Crash's song or Joshua Tree and goes, "I resonate with that. That speaks to me." It hits me someplace in a way that other songs haven't, and it helps them in any way get through something maybe that they were struggling with. That's like the biggest compliment I could get ever. If somebody was touched by something and it helped them, that makes me super happy.
Well, I want to go through some of your songs here because I fell in love with all if that album. But I just want to know the meanings behind some of them. Okay. So my favorite one is going to be Christmas in Slow Motion. That just brings back old school country, Christmas memories.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And that's a powerful song, dude. That is a really, really powerful song.
That one goes back to my childhood,
Okay.
and to just the family being around, because I grew up in a, it's not a small town, but it's not a big, right? It's over on the east side of Washington, little, just a small town there, down like mid-size. And around Christmas time, we would not We weren't going to the big tree lighting in Seattle, or
We weren't
driving up
either.
to Leavenworth to spend thousands of dollars on knickknacks and new toys and things like that. We weren't going skiing at Vail, right? It was me and my sister walking the mile and a half to the high school that had a nice big hill so we could do sledding, right? It was my dad and my mom and everybody were going out into the woods to cut down a tree, back when you still used real trees for Christmas trees, to set it up and, all that fun stuff, and hanging up the ornaments on the tree, and then sitting around with hot cocoa or, whatever it is, cider, whatever
Something.
anybody wants to drink, and just having a quiet, low time to reflect. My family was very religious, so that it brought extra meaning to that time, and so we really bonded as a family unit around that holiday. It was very important to us. Also, I was born on Christmas Eve,
Oh,
so
nice.
yeah, so it's always been very important to me, that holiday, because it reminds me I'm getting older.
Right, yeah, exactly,
Yeah,
yeah.
no, nobody else really. Only people who are Christmas babies understand how Christmas is
Overdue,
not just a helpful time, but also a reminder to some of us that we're mortal.
Well, I guess your parents are somewhat happy about it because they only have to give you one set of gifts, right? Yeah, because me and my
Yeah, there was
dad.
some round and round about that. Yeah, all of the extended family, I got the combined Christmas gifts, right? My parents were really good about not doing that, but yeah, it all my friends and family, they all had birthdays, and then they had Christmas, and so I had both at the same time, which was nice. It kind of made the holiday all about me.
Yes,
So.
and rightfully so, right? You and Jesus, so
Well, I like to think so, but I don't think the churches would say so.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, who
Don't get
knows about
myself in
them?
trouble.
No. Who knows about them? I don't know
Right.
anything about the church or politics, though, But I think my mom didn't like. Okay, this time she didn't like us, me and my dad, because my dad was born before Christmas. I was born after Christmas, so she's like, "Damn, I can't." It's like she's like, "I can't. We're producing here."
Yeah, that's always fun.
Okay, so let's talk about Snow on a Mountain, because that
Okay.
really is a great introduction. That takes me back to like old school country music.
Oh, yeah.
Country today is not really country like it used to be, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right. It's not so much a pop country song as it is like a country
Like an
song
old,
country.
yeah.
Yeah, and it really, I wanted a song that spoke to my love of the outdoors. I was a Boy Scout, obviously. And every year we would go out and we would do winter camping in my scouting troop. We'd go for one weekend. We would go and we'd build like igloos up in the mountain, like what we called snow caves. And then we'd let them settle for a week, and then we'd come back, and for 3 or 4 days we would just camp in the mountains, and we had like these activities that we would do as Boy Scouts. So it really gave me a love of the mountains, especially in winter, because it's a whole other feeling. In the summertime, you go out to the mountains and you have birds chirping, you have crickets, you have frogs, you have every animal under the sun all talking to you, right? It's very relaxing, but it's also can be kind of loud. In the winter, there's nothing. Like you walk into the woods, up into the mountains, and all you hear is trees creaking and the wind.
That's probably the
And
best sound ever.
occasionally like a crow. So that's something I always really loved, is just the peace and the quiet of being in the mountains in the snow. And I was looking around for like a winter themed kind of song to write, and like I happened to be staring up at Mount Rainier
Oh,
one
nice.
day. I'm like, there's snow on that mountain. There's always snow on that mountain. You know what? That's a great idea for a
Snow on a
song.
mountain,
Right. So I
right?
wrote it, and it clicked, and yeah, the arrangement came together super fast, and I had my husband help me with the arrangement and with some of the fixes on some of the words and whatnot. And yeah, it just I was super happy with it. Yeah.
Was there a song that you that just couldn't think you could finish at all because it was so personal to you? Like you had to sit
That would
back and take a look at
probably
it.
be the one that I just released on I think February 2nd, Crash's song.
Okay.
That song is about my
That's a
father.
great song too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really, really close to my heart. It's a very personal song because I was very close with my dad, as were the rest, like all of
Yeah.
us kids were very close with my father. And he taught me everything I know about being human. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it still, but he taught me everything I know. And if I don't give it up to him,
Yeah.
then, what am I even doing here?
Right.
Like,
Right.
yeah, he was literally the best person I or anyone I know has ever met.
Yeah.
He was just kind and loving and giving. He'd give the shirt off his back to just a person who was walking down the street who needed it
Yeah.
and would never ask for anything back. And that's the biggest lesson I took from everything that I could glean from him is always be kind.
Yes, yeah. It takes nothing to be kind. But it takes
Yeah.
everything to be mean, you know, it's what
Yeah,
I say, you know.
it costs you nothing.
Right.
I took that to heart, and hopefully I'm teaching that to the next generation. I don't have any kids, but I know many,
Yeah.
many children.
Yeah. Which is good because, yeah, because children are the best, you know, well, they all speak in their minds, so I don't know how best they are, you know, because they don't have a filter, it seems like anymore, you know.
No, not
Back
anymore. Not
then
ever,
they,
really.
oh yeah, back then they could get away with it because we didn't, the whole world didn't care back then, but like they do now.
Yeah, nowadays there's the TikTok and there's the Twitter and
I
the.
still don't understand TikTok. I mean, I'm trying to understand it, but I just can't, you know, because I'm 46, you know,
Never
I was
yet.
born in '80, so I'm, you know, this is a fairly brand new thing for me. We just talked about you began writing after your father was ill. So was that the first time using music as an emotional tool?
No.
No.
I had used music as an emotional crutch, like as a thing to get through difficult times, but
Right.
I had never written music to get
Okay.
through. I would listen to music that was important to me. As when I was younger, in high school and college and later on, I would listen to my favorite songs. I would go deep into the B sides of I'm aging myself because nobody even has vinyl anymore, but I go into the B
Oh, I got a
sides
vinyl.
of the
It's
tracks,
right over
right?
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
And
love
I would just
vinyl.
disappear for like an hour or two just to get through something and process whatever trauma I happen to be going through. But it just seemed like when I got that call, it was bigger than anything I dealt with before. And
Yeah.
so I needed a different outlet. I needed something that would help me better. And so, yeah. So I just sat down. That's when I wrote Crash's song was.
Okay.
He was the strongest man that I've ever known. He worked hard all his life to build a loving home. He never asked for nothing. He took the life as it came. And he always taught his kids to do the same. He put clothing on the homeless, 'cause he knew that it was right. And he always said a prayer when he laid down every night. He never banked a million, but I know down in my soul that the currency he traded in was worth more than any gold. He is my hero. He's the best of the best. And if I end up half the man he is, I'll be better than the rest. He is my hero. True and honest to the core. And I know someday I'll walk with him once more. He didn't look to others for his moral code, and you never had to question if he'd pay you what he owed. But if someone needed something that was in his power to give, well, you know that he'd offer it, because that's just the way he lived. He is my hero. He's the best of the best. And if I end up half the man he is, I'll be better than the rest. He is my hero, true and honest to the core. And I know someday I'll walk with him once more. No, I never had the chance to say what really meant the most. But his words will always help me on my way. He is my hero. He's the best of the best. And if I end up half the man he is, I'll be better than the rest. He is my hero. True and honest to the core. And I know more. And I know someday I'll walk with him once more.
Yeah, it was right when I found out he had when he had cancer, and that was 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
So I sat on that song for a very long time, obviously.
Because that was literally my next question. Do you remember the first lyric you wrote during that, you know?
The very first lyric I wrote was the very first line of the song. He was the strongest man I ever known.
Yeah.
And it's just because, like, I got the call, and my dad was the one who told me. He's like, My parents were really cool this way. They had actually sent my sister. She was coming to Vegas for a millwrights thing that she was doing. Yeah. A millwrights, you know, an apprenticeship.
Right, yeah.
It's a union thing. But she had come to Vegas for a workshop of some kind. And so they waited until she was there with me to call and tell me. So that I would have somebody other than my husband to, you know, to lean on and to cry with. But my dad is the one who told me that he, you know, was sick. Mm. And I started crying, and my sister was already crying, and Michael, my husband, he was crying. And my dad was like, "It's okay. It's not a problem. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it." So I'm like,
Huh.
damn, I don't think I could have done that. I
No.
think I would have just been a blubbering idiot. So yeah, it just proved to me he was the strongest guy ever.
I was going to say that because it takes strength to tell somebody else when you're dying, you're like, "Dude, don't worry about it. It's okay." Yeah, that tells a lot about the man, and it's yeah. I'm so sorry that he passed away, So
That's all. I
yeah,
mean, it's
it's
we all have that
yeah,
debt to pay.
yeah,
Nobody gets away
yeah.
with it.
Sadly, yeah.
So it's taken me a long time to come to grips with it, but
Yeah.
I'm in a good place. So
Good. Very good. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I mean, music's always there too, brother. So you just lean on music whenever you
Oh
get those
yeah.
feelings. Yeah. So.
Yeah, whenever I start to feel down or happy or well, really anything,
Yeah. Right.
I will sit down on my I write mostly on my computer nowadays. I used to have a notebook that I'd write in.
Yeah.
But my fingers don't work as well as they used to. So now I'll just sit down with my laptop and,
Yeah, just type it. Yeah, I find
type it
typing
out.
better than writing because my writing is hideous. My writing looks like a doctor's note or
Yeah,
something.
nowadays
Yeah, yeah.
if I tried to write out a song,
What the hell is
right.
that
Did
word? Right.
you
Yeah.
write this in Klingon? Yeah, it would
Right.
be
Exactly. Yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody would be able to read
So, is there a song that you've written that still feels unemotionally unfinished? Or like, do you pretend to finish like
it.
everything?
Honestly,
Yeah.
with the exception of just a couple, I feel like all of my songs are all unfinished all the time.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm
Yeah.
like, I don't, I'm never happy with anything I do, even though, I put it together, I arrange it, I put it all into where it needs to be. I send it off to people and they confirm, yeah, this is finished. This sounds really good.
Yeah.
I always can find something. I can always find some
Okay.
tiny little thing in it that is like, I wish I'd used a different word
Yeah.
there. I wish
Yeah.
I had a better inflection for that word. It's I'm a nitpicker. I hate to
Yep.
say it. I can't just listen to the music, for what it is. I'm always listening with a critical ear for my own choices.
Right.
But as far as songs that I'm currently working on, I have a song that I'm still putting together. It's almost done. It's called A Little Faith, A Lot of Love and You. And it's about, well, it's about me and my husband and
Yeah.
growing up, not really growing up, but meeting and going through life
Right.
together.
To get to right,
So,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, it's got a good feel to it. It's a little bit slower song, but
Yeah.
not a ballad,
No.
right? It's
Right. Yeah.
kind of a laid back, right? Kind of little faith, a lot of love in you, right? It's
Something you
all I
can do.
need. Get me through that kind of thing.
Something you can ride down the road and listen to,
Yeah,
With the
exactly.
windows open. Hell yeah. I love those kind of songs, because
Yeah,
those songs made
it's got a
me.
really good guitar riff in it, which I like,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because those type of songs make you think about stuff that you never thought about, before, and it gets your brain going, and it really does help your mental process going, So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah. I've written a few songs that I could never sing, mainly because one of them, I can't hear it in a male voice. I
Okay.
wrote a song called Doll Maker's Lullaby, and I just can't hear it in a male voice. Every time I look at the words, it just strikes me as a female. It
Okay.
strikes me as one that a female would sing.
Right.
And then I have one that I've worked up the music, but I haven't put together the vocals for it yet. That's kind of an Irish rock kind of feel
Ooh, yeah.
with a lot of really weird, like like old timey Irish, how to describe it?
It's all like a
It's like old world references, right?
okay.
Like the old gods and going like in the bogs and the river and all that stuff and time. There's a lot of weird references in it, but I really like that song, and it's not even close to finished, but
Right.
it'll get there
It's almost
eventually.
there, right? Yeah.
I'd say about halfway, but it's
Right.
about
Okay.
halfway
Yeah.
finished.
Yeah. Because I think when it comes to writing, musicians are their own worst enemy with lyrics because it's never done, you know. But I'm like, yeah, but you gotta know when to release it because we as fans want to hear what you have to say, you know.
Right. Eventually, you just have to say, yes, there's things that I would like that that I listen to now. I recorded it 6 months ago, but and I there's things I'd like to change, about how I recorded it,
Yeah.
but I recorded it well enough, people are going to like it. So you just have to say, no more changes, no more fiddling with it, get it out there.
Done. Yeah.
It just gets to the point where once you get past the radix,
Right.
you just have to
Yeah.
move it along, get it out into the world so that it can do its thing,
Because there's
and
some
hopefully
bands
people like
like some bands take like 13 years to release another new album. I'm like, come on, dude, we can't release another Tool album, you know? I'm like, Jesus, you know?
Yeah, I
So.
mean, if you only release an album every 13 years or something.
Yeah. What's
Are
the point of
you
releasing music? Yeah.
right? Because like half the people that really liked your music are going to be retired by the time you get
Yeah.
your next album out.
All right.
So,
You're gonna be an old folk home.
but it really is for the fans. It's so that they can
Yeah.
hear, what's coming up, what's changing, what are the new cool things that I think people want to hear. The cool riffs, the cool hooks that moved me, or that somebody that I let listen to the song went, that's really awesome. When you get something like that, when you get a song like that, where somebody listens to it the first time and goes, damn, then
Then you
it
know,
makes you feel really
then
good.
you know you got something there, you know, because that's really a really powerful song if it makes them go like that, you know, like holy crap, this is awesome, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's there's no feeling quite like it. So
Yeah.
and I did get some of that with, especially the folks that I've put it out to, the Jukebox of Regret, really had that kind of reaction
Yeah.
from the folks who have heard it. They're nothing but positive reviews so far,
Yeah.
where people are just saying, that's a banger.
Right.
That's
Right. Yeah. That's where it's at.
It gets
Yeah.
stuck in your head and you try to sing it, but you can't.
Exactly.
It's so,
Yeah.
it's just fast, fast, fast
Yeah.
all the way through. Yeah, it's one of those songs that really is,
Too
one in a
powerful.
million
Yeah.
kind of a thing
Yeah.
for me.
Right. Yeah. I want to do like a quick lightning round. And then we have two more questions after that, and then we'll let you go because I know you're very busy with all this stuff. All right.
Hit me with the lightning.
Vegas buffet or Nashville hot chicken?
Vegas buffet.
Vegas
Yeah.
buffet. Why?
I love food.
Well, I
I'll
do.
take
Yeah.
the more food I can get, the better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, theater spotlight or honky tonk neon? Or is it kind of like a 50-50 kind of, you
I love the theater spotlight. I
know?
have to
Yeah,
say it.
okay.
Just being center stage with that thing hitting you in the face, there's nothing like it. A
Right.
honky tonk is fun and just high energy, but there's nothing like being on center stage with everybody staring at you.
I can't imagine. That, you know, that feeling, you know. I want that, but maybe later I'll get that kind of feeling, you know. Right.
I hope
Song
you do.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, right, man. You know, if you speak it, it'll come true. You know, it's
I
like
give it out
when
to the universe.
there you go. It's coming from me soon. Soon. Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
Song you wish you wrote.
Of the song I wish I wrote. Oh,
Out of all the country songs, there's, you know, which one?
honestly, there's two.
Okay.
There's two songs that I really, really wish I'd written. There's a song by Kenny Chesney called The Tin Man. That is one of my favorite songs of all time. It is just, it's heartfelt, it's sad. It just hits you right in the feels. And then the other one is goes back to, my chosen Americana. I wish I'd written City of New Orleans.
Okay.
Like Arlo Guthrie just hit on all cylinders with that song. He was the preeminent protest singer. He
Yeah.
did so well with those two songs, with that song. So those would be my two. The two,
Nice.
I know they're weird choices,
I know,
but
I mean,
in
they're
country
all,
music, those would be
yeah.
my two.
Right. A song that still makes you cry to this day. Like when you hear it instantly, I got some of those songs.
Yeah,
But what's
there's one song I can't listen to. I cannot listen to Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings.
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it one, it made me cry when I watched Beaches, and two, it was chosen as my friend Paul's eulogy song when he was killed. So, and this was years and years ago. This was 20 years ago, but it was his eulogy song. No, I don't listen to that song
No,
anymore.
that's a
It
hard.
comes on the radio, somebody sings it at karaoke, I leave.
You
I
invite
leave
you
the
like a
room.
peace. I'm going, you know. Yeah. Chaos or songwriting silence? I think I know the answer.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Chaos or songwriting silence?
Do I need chaos to write songs or do I need silence?
No, like, do you prefer? Oh, yeah. I guess that's the, yeah.
Honestly, silence.
Okay.
And it's for me, it's more about the ambient feel of where I'm at. I write music best, honestly, either in the woods.
Right.
I love to write music in the woods. And also, if I'm, this is going to be weird, if I'm behind the wheel of a car, not driving,
Right,
not
yeah.
write while you're driving, it's a bad idea. But
Right.
if like if I'm just sitting in a car, like behind the wheel and just kind of, I've been inspired while sitting in cars more than pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
I also spend a lot of time in cars, that's why.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we got three more questions, but I do want to thank you for coming on because you've been great to talk to. I love talking to you. Okay,
Yes, you've been
so
awesome.
thank you, sir. Okay, so we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your favorite bands or artists. You got four of them. Who are
Four of
they?
them?
Four of
Favorite
them.
bands and artists.
Yes.
Okay.
Or,
Well,
yeah.
with the Super Bowl having just started, I have to say Green Day,
Okay.
because they
They're
just
good.
killed it.
Oh,
They
yeah.
killed it at the Super
Yeah.
Bowl. Shoot, there's so many. Queen, by with Freddie Mercury and all those
Yeah.
guys, just
I love
awesome.
Queen. Yeah.
I really do love Kenny Chesney. He does amazing, amazing work. And honestly, there's a group from back in the 90s, a country group called Blackhawk, that had some just amazing songs. I really, really love them. And then, of course, Garth Brooks. I love Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I don't think he releases music anymore, does he? Because I haven't heard
No,
anything. Okay, yeah.
but I could listen to his greatest hits
Oh,
albums.
yeah, they're all great. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as I'm not listening to any of the live versions.
Right,
Well,
yeah.
his live in Central Park was great. It was a great album. But apparently, their in-ear microphones or something, their channel was on the same frequency as like a nearby McDonald's drive-through,
Right.
and
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah, it
you
messes
can
up.
hear people ordering
Yeah.
fries and like,
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah, that's not good for anything.
no,
So,
but
all right.
Some live albums are really good. I prefer the studio work from Garth just because he could do so much more with his voice when he was in the controlled, when he was in the controlled area and not flying over the stage, you know,
Or jumping on pianos. Right? It's something weird like that, you know?
Hard to be 100%, you know, 100% accurate when you're being rained on stage.
Is it right? Yeah.
But yeah, definitely Garth Brooks.
Okay, so we're gonna end on this one.
Okay.
Now this might be like a very emotional. I don't know how this is gonna hit you in the heart, but what does music mean to you? What have you learned from music?
Music is, to me, music is connection. Music is, it's a better, like I can talk to somebody, but I never feel like I never feel like we are as attached. I never feel like I am as attached to somebody just from talking to them as I do if I am listening to music with them. I can just sit in a room with someone and vibe to, you know, any kind of music, really. I have a big eclectic, you know, mix of music that I love. You know, I can just sit there with pretty much anybody. And if they're vibing to the music and I'm vibing to the music, I feel
Why
like
not?
we have a stronger connection there than if we had talked for 3 hours about anything. It's connection is that's what music means to me, is connection between people.
Nice. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. So before we let you go, though, I'm going to give you some shout-outs if you don't mind. You're on Facebook under JP Cates, Instagram JP Cates Music,
Correct.
and we're still working on a website, correct?
Yeah, it's JP Cates Music. I think it's jpcatesmusic.com, but I could be wrong on that one. I am not a web developer, so
I'll put the link
who
below,
knows if it'll ever come out? I don't know. Because I don't do web stuff. So, hopefully somebody can figure it out and do it for me. And then of course all of my music, you can get it at Spotify, YouTube,
Anywhere,
or Apple. Yeah, any of those.
And we have a merchandise store, or are we still working on that?
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
But
Yeah, nothing yet.
when people come to see you live, they can buy shirts and hats or like whatever you sell, right?
Sure. Yeah. When I do get out on the road, yeah,
Well,
that will definitely be the case. It'll probably just be a picture of me looking like this.
Oh no! There you go. Yeah, you can print them out and sell them. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
You
just
know,
screen print them on a nice black t-shirt.
that's
Just a
right.
picture of me in front of my Godzilla wall. It's
Yes, I love man. I
my
love the
husband's
Godzilla wall.
Godzilla wall.
I haven't seen Godzilla Minus One yet, so I heard that's pretty good
Oh,
still. Yeah, I know.
yeah. Don't tell my husband that because
Oh, okay.
he's a huge fan of Godzilla.
I am
So
too. I am too. Yeah,
anybody who hasn't
definitely.
seen Godzilla Minus One, he berates them.
Well, don't tell him
Really good.
that. That'd be our secret, right? Yeah, cool.
Just you and me and your millions of followers.
Not yet. Not yet, but well, soon.
You'll get there.
Yeah, oh
You'll get
yeah.
there.
And you will too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'll see.
So, all right. So thank you so much, JP, for coming on. I greatly do appreciate it.
My
And if
pleasure.
you want to come back anytime, please come back on.
Right.
I love talking to you.
It was my pleasure. You have a great day, sir. Thank you for giving me a platform. I appreciate
Thank
it.
you so much. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.